chapter of James, chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, all right. Well, I can go faster.
No.
The reason why, when you look at the James, or you read the James, there's this, within one chapter, so many points. Yes, we can just blaze through the trail, or we can talk along and just learn everything we can learn, as much as we can learn. So far, I don't feel that I need to go fast. So, if you get bored, then let me know. I'll go faster. Discovery Channel. Many guys' favorite channel. Especially Carl and myself, because I learn a lot of things. And so as soon as they talk about train, Jack will love it. But he doesn't have a problem watching train movie.
No.
Anyway, I learned one thing about the Discovery Channel. There's a lot of fun things, a lot of good information. But where are you going to use it? How many times the rhinoceros... what kinds of skin rhinoceros has? Who cares, right? Whether it's a horn is a hollow or a field. In a way, that's kind of unuseful information. If I tell you they make silicon out of a grain of sand and put together that silicon into some sort of microchips and put the circuit inside and put that thing on the plastic board with the circuit board, and it become motherboard for the computer, and that one of the things that they make out of that motherboard is called a backside cache, 1 megabyte, 744 megahertz with a 512 mega RAM, 15.1-inch matrix LCD. So far, you got the meaning, right? I just described it in my laptop. Big deal. Who cares, right? Not useful. It's only for the computer geek like me. So, okay, that's a geek talk. But the wisdom of God is a different thing. Wisdom of God is much, much more than that. Remember, I explained this to you when we were studying the 1 Corinthians, and we heard about the word wisdom. Intelligence or information cannot be wisdom, but the wisdom can be intelligence or information or knowledge. They all run in together. So in other words, wisdom has a bigger area than information or knowledge or intelligence. Intelligence and the knowledge or information pretty much limit to human error, human area. However, we can feel that wisdom is somehow coming from different source. Where does it coming from? It comes from heaven above. The definition of wisdom, I wrote it down, and I like this. You might want to jot it down and consider keep it in your mind. Sound judgment about a practical thing of daily life in all aspects of Christian living. I'll repeat it. Sound judgment about practical things of daily life in all aspects of Christian living. That makes perfect sense to me. Let's go ahead and read verse 5 through 8. Now we have 4 verses to cover. We have to blaze trail.
One more time on the definition.
Okay. Subject judgment. Let me try again. Sound judgment. Don't be subjective. Sound judgment about the practical things of daily life in all aspects of Christian living. It was so good, so I just copied it and stole it from somebody. I have no idea who said it. It's just good. All right, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, underline, in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your wisdom is beyond our comprehension. Even a portion of your, just tiny bit of your wisdom was above our any possible imagination. We pretend, humankind pretend that we can do something when it's nothing more than imitation of God. Teach us. Yes, we like to be smart, but we'd rather be wise in the Lord that we may please your name, that we may glorify your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I read this, as a matter of fact, I taught this exact book at the prison many years ago. But I was reading this over and looking at my note, I thought, I don't like that. I don't agree with myself. So I had to change a few things. When I read verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And from the verse 6, somehow all of a sudden the tone is different. Did you notice? And verse 5 is a rather positive comment. From verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. And for he doubt, all of a sudden is changing from positive tone to negative tone. For he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. And for not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, that he is double-minded man, unstable in all his way. So it seems like verse 5 is talking about God give you wisdom. In verse 6, all of a sudden he's changing the tone, James is changing the tone of voice. If you doubt, you will have this kind of problem. So he's giving us the consequences. And overall, verse 2, let's go back to verse 2. He's giving us the why we go through trials and tests. To go through trials and tests, we need something. What do we need? Verse 5, wisdom. You follow me? See, we're studying this in bits and pieces, so we think that they are not connected. They are connected. They are in context. So this is a side story, no extra charge. When we read this Bible, don't just read one verse. Cults use Bible to make their own doctrine. Remember fancy word, and some of you guys have been in the 1 Corinthians study. Let's see how much you guys remember this. Pop quiz. All right. ISOGESIS. EXO, that's a G. That's Korean way of saying G. ESIS. Isogesis, exogesis. What the heck am I talking about? Can you see, Sally? Do you mean to go like that? I suggest this is the one, I have a certain idea, and I'm pulling verses out from all over the Bible to make my own doctrine. I think it's isolating. I know it has nothing to do with it, but that's how I remember. So it's a Greek word. I suggest is pulling the all the verses. It can be context. It cannot, doesn't have to be context. Simply making, connecting my doctrine with the Bible verses. Exegesis. Simply following the word as is, then we put our thought into it. So, what is the main one? Scripture. Our thought is just interpretation. This one, our thought is the main thing, and the scripture is a supporting role. Which one is the right way to do it? Exegesis. To do the topical teaching, you have to use eisegesis method. To do the expository study, like what we do from verse 1 to all the way to the last chapter of the last verse, exegesis. Okay, remember that thought. That's what we do, exegesis. When we go through the verse 2, 3, 4, we talked about trials and joy. Remember, guys? We go through a trial, but keep it in, think that there's joy to us because while we go through trials and tests, it brings a character. Remember, trials and tribulation bring the character to perseverance, and then perseverance to the character and what? Hope, 1 Peter says. And then Romans 5:3-5 says. So there is a sequence, tribulation, perseverance, or patience, endurance, whichever, and then goes to character. Character to hope. Guess what the hope there is the same thing? Joy. To go through all of that, we have a tribulation, and we have perseverance. And perseverance goes to character, and character to hope. What is this arrow that links to all this in between? Guess what that is? Wisdom. This is wisdom. Now, when you look at the wisdom in Greek word, is something we know, somebody's name, Sophia. This wisdom is the link, knowing that Greek, this wisdom is the one linking tribulation to the perseverance, the endurance and patience. Knowing that God is in control, knowing that we can steadfastly depend on Him. Any of you guys enjoy tribulation? Any of you guys? If you do, you are sick. Major sick person. Honest goodness, you shouldn't be enjoying that you get persecuted and enjoying going through tribulation. But we should take it as a joy. There's a difference. Enjoying and take it as a joy. Somebody who's enjoying it, the sadistic person or the out in the la la land. But while we're going through, we know that God is in control. Nothing is out of His knowledge. Everything is granted by His permission. Remember, last week, I gave you that $5,000 theological word. What is it? Remember? Two words. Start with a P. And second word, start with a B. You're going to buy her gift, okay, John? You're going to buy her gift. She is smart. How did you marry that smart woman? Providential blessing.
I have my notes from last time.
That's a good thing, Chichi. Now, providential blessing is something we didn't expect, we did not ask for, but He's providing to build what? Character in us, godly character in us. When we have a godly character, our hope is building up inside. Once our hope is building up, then even though we are right smack dab in the middle of trials and difficulty, we can see. That's when, this is when the really Christianity in you and me shine through. Am I making sense to you? When everything is going well, you guys see this class sitting, sorry. Can you see a little better? Make like this and make a long neck. When we go through trials and tests, let me go back. When we do have everything well around us, kids doing well, your health is doing well, there's money in the checking account and no limit, and there's no bill, bad chance. Anyway, and you can drive anywhere, no matter how fast you go, the cops cannot see you because they're all in the donut shop or bagel shop nowadays. And so nothing goes wrong.
Driving a Hummer.
Hummer, yeah, driving a Hummer, my favorite vehicle. I'll never get it probably. But when you do all of that, nothing goes wrong, do we really seek God? Why do I need God? Everything is hunky-dory. I don't have to depend on Him. God wants us to depend on Him. Because when we have that kind of thought, we are depending on what? Material things. Our mind, our heart is hope in material things that will go away. Stock market goes down, guess what? Boom, everything goes down. Black Monday, remember that? A few years ago. And it can happen. I think a stock market is a schizophrenic thing. One day it goes up, one day, that afternoon goes down. However, in the midst of that kind of up and down, we can have a joy. By going through this, when we have a wisdom in God. With that, let's go to Psalm 110. How are we going to have a wisdom of God? Psalm 110, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You all remember that, right? 10. 110, 10. All right.
There's only 7 verses.
Yeah, there's only 7 verses.
Are you writing?
No. I want 11. Sorry. Well, 110, 111, what's the difference?
This isn't the book of Kim?
111, 10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have all those who His commandment, His praise endures forever. You see, fear of the Lord. Now, what is that fear? Is that the fear that we are scared to death of God? No. That's actually should translate is awe of the Lord, A-W-E. Remember Home Alone? And the kid said, ah! That's scared. Actually, he had a brute, the facial thing, and it hurt him so bad, it making him scared. But when we, if we have a glimpse, in my opinion, if we have a glimpse of His holiness, we will be in awe. How often, I lived here in 21 years, 22 years, I haven't been in the Grand Canyon yet. No, someday we'll go. Somebody said, I came to Grand Canyon as a heathen. I left Grand Canyon as a believer in God. Why? Because the man saw and awestruck. So fear of God should be translated as, in my opinion, either awe of God or reverence of God. That's why I do not care for the word reverent. Because a friend of mine knows that, so he called me reverent, just to irritate me. Wisdom of God gives not is not necessarily for us to get out of the tight corner. Let me repeat it. Wisdom of God does not necessarily give us the way to get out of the tight corner. But it gives us understanding that God allows that thing to happen. But yet, it also allows us to understand that God is in control. And we get to have a steadfast confidence in Him. Complete trust and steadfast confidence in Him. That's wisdom. That's much, much different concept than the worldly people's wisdom. Now, there is one book out of 66 books of the Bible that give you wisdom, true wisdom. What is it? Very good, guys. Okay, let's go like this. Pat on your back. Now, if it had, do you know how many chapters in the Proverb?
31.
Very good, Carmen. Only one chapter. The last chapter is a virtuous woman. That means you can read Book of Proverbs one chapter a day, every day, throughout the year. And you're going to be so smart. Some of you, someday, one of the Bible study night, we're going to take a break from studying the book, and we're going to do actually how to study the Bible. Would that be okay with you guys?
Yes.
I think that will be beneficial for the how to get, remember the inductive Bible study method? Well, we're going to do a little more than just talking about it. So someday we'll do that. Anyway, Proverbs, I do recommend you guys to read one chapter a day, if you can, and it will help you. It talks about business, it talks about elementary morality, it talks about family and social relationship. Bless you. And it talks about just simply wise things to do. Proverbs is a very important book. Majority is written by one person. Who?
Solomon.
Wisest man in human history. But I call him wisest fool. The reason is because he, with all the wisdom he received from the Lord, he deserted God in the old age. So wisdom of God can be achieved through the Word of God, Proverbs. Also, we find it in Apostle Paul's open letter, which we call epistles, E-S-P-I-T-L-E-S, in plural, epistles, we find Jesus as wisdom of God. Where do you find it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Those who have been with us and with 1 Corinthians all this time, your Bible should open automatically to 1 Corinthians, right? Chapter 1, verse 24. But those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's go down a few more verses in verse 30 of chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, in and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Some of you might say, well, that's only two verses. Let me show you one more verse. Colossians, please. Colossians is right before the First Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Alright. It says, to whom in hidden all the treasures of wisdom and the knowledge. Who is this whom? Jesus. So Jesus is called as the wisdom of God. Why? Because He gives us hope and joy in Christ. So we pretty much summed up, we can sum it up in one way. How do we get the wisdom of God? Through the Word. Especially Proverbs. Is that the only book that we get wisdom? No, all 66 books. However, this is one of those concentrated thing. Like the blonde was looking at the orange juice and looking at it like this. Why are you looking at it? It says concentrate.
I like that.
And some of you are thinking, how can he say it? Blonde joke from the pulpit. It's okay. I'm married to one. Oh. Hi, Emmy. I'll tell you about that twice thing later. After we shut up the recording. Verse 6. So we're finding consequences. We don't. But verse 6. But let him ask in faith. I asked you on the line in faith. This is so important. How are we going to believe that we're going to have a wisdom unless we believe in God? Unless we trust in Him. So we have to do it in faith. Let him ask in faith. Believe that we will get. Oh, by the way, let's go back to verse 5. There's one more. I missed one very important thing. Without reproach. You know, I didn't like that translation, so I look at the other versions. To Pam's surprise, this time it's not from the New NIV, New International Version. It's from the New Living Translation. What it says is, it says that He will not resent your asking. That means He will give us any time we ask for the wisdom. So some of you guys come to me and ask me to pray for me for this kind of thing. And I usually ask for, I quote this portion of the verse. If anyone lacking in wisdom, simply ask. And He will give it to us. That's a promise of God. He said He will give us wisdom without any reservation. How to handle the situation. Otherwise, we're going to get in trouble. So that's kind of keep that in the back of your burner. Verse 6, let him ask in faith and with no doubting. And I ask you to put the number on. Number one, for he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven. Number two, tossed by the wind. Why did I ask you to put the numbers in? The reason is, if we don't have faith in God, we don't have a wisdom how to handle the situation. Remember, sound judgment. Remember the definition? Sound judgment about the practical things of daily life, all aspects of a Christian living. So if we don't have that proper sound judgment, we will be tossed by, we'll be in the, like on the middle of the sea, going up and down, side to side, moved by this wave. What does it mean? So I'm supposed to make a decision, a very important decision in my life, and somebody come along, ungodly person tells me, you know what, you should do this. It sounds so good if I don't trust God. So I try that way. And somebody else come by, that's wrong. Try this way. So I follow somebody else's idea instead of God's idea. So whatever comes against us, we will learn, and then tossed by the wind. Guess what we don't have then? We don't have a peace. When we don't have a peace, we don't have a hope. We don't have a hope, we don't have a joy in the Lord. No wonder why we walk around like this. And there was a lady in the checkout counter at the grocery store, and she turned around this guy who has a ties and suit and with a very grim face. And she asked me, are you a pastor? And the guy said, no, I was just sick for a few days. Sometimes a Christian acts like it. They drank the lemon juice. They walk around with the ugly face. Come on, we have to live for 7 years. Cheer up. We'll join the Lord, that which is our. We need to think about the, what is joy. Is it more money in the checking account? Or everything is going well? Is that joy? But if that's the case, we have a very shallow joy. Joy comes deep down, knowing that God is in control. While I'm going through difficulty, He will pull me through. Let's get a few basic principles of God. Number one, God loves people. Number two, because He loves His people so much that He sent His only begotten to save us. Through His death and resurrection, we have access to the throne. Number three, because we can come to throne of grace through Jesus, but we cannot come to Him with all the sins we have. What He does, He forgives us. He tosses all of us in the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers them no more. And then He is with us no matter what. That's His promise. He said it once in the Old Testament. He said it again in the New Testament. I will never leave you, forsake you. As this before, when He will be through the difficulty in the valley of shadow of death, guess what? God's not saying, that's your problem, kid. I'm out of here. Hasta la vista. He doesn't do that. He is with us. And when we need something, the bottom line, not want, not necessarily want, hummer is want. Honda's Accord with 170,000 miles on is need. So He allowed me that. He will provide all our need according to His riches and glory. He will not let His children go out back for bread, Psalm says. And the psalmist says again, don't give me so much rich that I might forget you, or don't give me so much poverty that I might have to steal the bread from somebody. He will provide all our needs according to His riches and glory. And guess what? He's not a promise maker. He's a promise keeper. That is why when I was in prison ministry 12 years ago, God specifically told me, when you say something, you do it. This is not a brag. I'm praying God. He kept me to do it for 12 years. And inmate could count that I forgot and didn't keep the promise in 12 years, could keep it in five years. High glory to God. Why? Those inmates have been betrayed and betrayed. They don't trust anyone. But when I say, yeah, that means yes. When I say no, that means no. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do the same thing. You say, I'm going to pray for you. Guess what you're supposed to do? You better pray. If you don't remember to pray because you have a daughter like I do, then pray then. And if you're going to remember, pray. You better pray. When we doubt, we will not receive wisdom from God. Guess what we're doing? We're doubting, not anyone, doubting the character of God. He said He's a promise keeper, not His promise maker, and breaks like we do. So, when we doubt that we are not going to receive the wisdom of God, we are doubting character. This is not a popular teaching, especially for those who are in the circles of faith movement. You name it, claim it. So you see the hummer passing by, claim that thing in the name of Jesus. They go, do I get the hummer? No. I don't get it. Because that's not what God wants. Turn your Bible with me to Mark chapter 9. This has been one of those verses that have been abused. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him, believe. But if you looking there, is it applying to you? Yes, but when God's will. Let's go back to 7 of chapter 1. James. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Those people who do not believe and doubt the principle which we talked about, God's people and God saved, sent his begotten son. All of that, he doesn't believe the basic principle of God's word and his character and his wisdom. Is it because their lack of wisdom will go through a tough time? Because they give up, they desert God's wisdom and they have depend on their own intelligence. Not wisdom, their own intelligence. And choosing the wrong direction. And then they will usually say, why God let this kind of thing happen to me? I say, well, you chose. Blame on God. Let's go to verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Underline double-minded. And you might want to jot down as two souls. That's literally what it means. It's like a split personality. One says one and the other one says another thing. So with our mouths, when we come to church, I agree with you. Praise God. He's awesome. He can do all things. But we do not trust him. In one of Romans, I believe, the apostle said this. He's supposed to bring our burden to him and lay at his feet and walk away. Right? Well, what do? When we walk away, we grab that sucker and on our back and start to walk away again. It's like, God, I really believe that you can handle this. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then, are you sure you do this? Let me put it this way. Say I broke my DVD player. And I had to take it to the repairman. No, let's say a computer. Nowadays, a DVD, you can pretty much buy that thing, another one. Let's say I broke my computer, God forbid. And I have to take it to the repairman. No idea how to repair it, let alone how to open that thing. I just know how to use it. I brought it to a repairman and say, can you get this? He said, yeah, no problem. I'll fix it in 2 days. Come back in 2 days. Sure. Not a problem. He writes a little note that this is your computer and come and get a claim check. So he say, okay, thank you. And I got the claim check and pick up the computer and walk away. Is that right? Am I supposed to leave the computer with him so he can fix it, or am I supposed to take it back with me? Am I making sense to you? Think that repairs God. I brought the problem to him and live with him. Don't come back and grab that thing and then walk away. And then I'm carrying the problem with me again. What he said is, Jim, can you stand up? Is your back okay?
Sure.
All right, stand up. I just stand up. Trust me. The idea is where this the word the Apostle Paul said is during the Roman emperor the empire, when somebody kills another person, as a punishment before they kill him, capital punishment, they hang the person who's dead on the back of the killer, tie that person like this. And let that person to carry around. I was going to hang on you, but literally put the arms around the killer's neck and tie that person. That person is supposed to march around the town. Can you imagine the smell? Dead body hanging on you, literally dead weight. That's the concept Apostle Paul is thinking. And that's what that weight we carry around when we carry the burden. So when we bring the problem to the repairman, leave the problem with the repairman, which is our God. And trust that have enough wisdom to know that he will take care of it and walk away. Let's make an application. The wisdom that comes from God is not to make us to know about the future or about to make a quick getaway from the trials. Let me repeat it. The wisdom that comes from God is not to make us to know about the future or to make a quick getaway from the problem we are facing. But it is for us to endure and have hope in God. I don't think I have to explain that after all that thing. Alright. I'm done. Any questions? Not Christians. Questions. You can stop.